Have you ever been at a store or been getting a service and you walked away feeling really, really great about that experience and you felt that you were treated well, your wishes were heard, and you walked away with exactly what you wanted and more? As service providers, we appreciate this happening, but how many of us fall short when it comes to providing this type of experience with our clients? Well, today we're going to talk about what is great customer service. What are the buckets that I believe you need to pour into to make sure that you provide great customer service? And how can that benefit your business and your client? So let's get into it today on the Focal Points podcast. Welcome to Focal Points, an Enphoto podcast hosted by Dori Howell. This is the place to be to learn how to build a photography business that you love. So like I asked in the introduction, have you ever been in a situation where you have received really, really great customer service? And what did that mean for you? And if I put a poll out on the interwebs and I asked y'all what that meant for you, I would get a ton of different answers because great customer service is absolutely subjective. What is great customer service to me may not mean too much to you and vice versa. So how can we make sure that we provide really great customer service with all of our clients in all of our interactions and everyone's going to leave happy? Well, I want to put this out in the world first is not everyone is going to leave happy. Not everyone is going to be really 100% satisfied in the services or the product that you offer and supply. That's just the way the world works. You will have unhappy clients. You will have people that didn't understand your process. You will have people that don't like your business for one reason or other, and they choose to take their business elsewhere and refer their friends and family elsewhere. So as long as we have realistic expectations of what really great customer service is, realizing that we can't have 100% great customer service for 100% of our clients 100% of the time, then we can move forward and say, okay, what does great customer service mean to me? How do I feel when I get really great customer service? And how can I provide that for my clients, knowing that it is not a end-all fix for everyone? We're not going to satisfy everyone. But the goal should be, at least in my studio, that I want to provide great customer service to my clients 95% of the time. And I believe that I do that. And there are some areas in my business that are harder for me than others. And there are other areas of my business where I shine and I love it. So what is great customer service? Well, like I said, it's subjective, but for me, when I go someplace, I appreciate the fact that they treat me more than just a client. I'm not just someone coming in to help them pay their bills. I like it when they use my first name. My first name is unusual. I don't get it a lot. So if someone can know my first name, that's great. I appreciate if I have an ongoing relationship with them, that they understand that I have a daughter and what my daughter is interested in and what we're interested in and different personal things about me. I appreciate that they remember those things and they take the time to remember those things. I appreciate when they go above and beyond in certain ways. Like, for example, I'm getting my nails done. I used to get my nails done every 2 weeks all the time. And I loved the salon that I went to. I had one designated nail tech. He treated me very, very well. And I wanted all the time a double coat of base coat. Don't ask me why. I just liked it that way. My nails lasted longer that way. I wanted a double coat of base coat. It's not a big deal. It takes them maybe 3 more minutes to do that. And in other salons, I would get charged extra for that. He just included it as part of the service. And it wasn't that he included it and didn't charge me for it, because I would have paid for it. It was the fact that he didn't make me feel weird or awkward because I had this unusual request. He just did it, said, no problem. Everything was no problem. And even if it was a pain for him to do a double base coat, he always did my double base coat. And he remembered it from time to time. As a repeat customer, I wanted him to remember, and I didn't want to always have to ask for that double base coat, right? And when it comes to something as simple as nail polish, what can you do in your business? It's really simple to provide customer service, great customer service. Well, it's more than your customers leaving you, hugging you, and smiling because they love the images that you've taken. That is the very base thing. And not everyone's a hugger, I get it. But it's more than that at the end of the day. It's because everyone is probably going to love the images. Why? Because images are subjective and you're taking images of their loved ones or themselves. So they're going to automatically love those images in most cases. There are some times when clients don't love their images, but that's not really the norm, right? So it goes beyond that happy feeling that they leave after the ordering appointment or after the session itself. So I believe that great customer service falls into four kinds of buckets, okay? And I'm gonna name those now. One is a great product that exceeds expectations. Two is an ease of doing business. Three is great problem resolution. And four is the great ending. So if we go back to number one, a great product that exceeds expectations. This seems obvious to photographers that we should provide great photos, right? Again, great being subjective. There are photographers out there that don't have great camera skills, and yet they're in business and people are hiring them for their business. That's totally okay. I'm not here to complain or to talk poorly about people who may not be as advanced in their camera skills as someone else. Because if someone's hiring you, they see value in what you do and what you can bring to improve their quality of life, to help them save their memories, that type of thing. But a couple of things that you can do to make your clients feel heard when it comes to the type of sessions you book is find out a little bit more about what they expect before they actually book. And I do this even on my inquiry page on my website. I ask them specifically when I was doing family and newborn portraiture, I said, if I could capture the perfect image, what would that look like to you? Because I've learned, especially in so many years of doing IPS, when I was sitting in the selling room with my clients, hearing their first reactions, so many times what they were drawn to as being the perfect image was the image that I almost didn't even include because I'm like, it's okay. But they saw something in that image that they loved. So I want to know now, before I book them, what would be the perfect image? What would that look like to you? And I have them explain it. And a lot of times on the inquiry page, that gets missed. Well, anytime I have a family session or even a headshot session now, I get the person on the phone for a really quick short phone call and I ask them that question again. If I could take the perfect image from this session that you would love and cherish forever, what would that look like? And I want to talk about it. I want to hear how they talk about it. I want to hear how their visual imagination can translate into my camera skills to get that for them. Now, I take it a step further. What is the perfect image? But then I also ask them, you know, what wouldn't you want from this session? What kind of images wouldn't you want? And sometimes it takes a little bit of digging to get this from people. I don't usually say, this is what I would get a lot. They would say, oh, I want both my kids sitting still, smiling perfectly, looking at the camera. Well, we know, especially if they have like two toddlers, that that's probably not going to happen. But if I go and I say, okay, well, what don't you want to see from this session? If you're thinking of a family session with two toddlers, they might see, I don't want it to look crazy. I don't want their hair to be out of place. I don't want their clothes to be disheveled or anything like that. Well, that gives me a really good idea that during the session, I might want to have an assistant because these kids are going to be crazy and I need to pay special attention to their hair and their clothes. There's so many clues that clients can give out when they're talking about what they want and what they don't want that you can take and translate into their session, right? So you want to find out what they like specifically and what they don't like specifically. And then here's the thing, no matter where your skills are, if you're showing a certain type of photography on your website or on your Facebook page or in your social media, you need to make sure that you can duplicate that look for your client. That's why I'm not a super, super big fan of using workshop images or anything like that in your actual portfolio, because most people, when they go to workshops and that type of thing, they're being presented with equipment that they don't have, with instruction that they're not going to have the day of a session or anything like that. And so if you haven't practiced it, if you don't have the equipment that you had in portfolio building with a workshop or a coach or a mentor or something like that, I wouldn't show that in your portfolio because you can't duplicate it, most likely. Only when you can duplicate it, that's when you want to be able to show it in your sessions and offer it to your clients. So be careful when it comes to that. But I'm a big fan of not experimenting with your clients. Like I said, if you can't reproduce it consistently, I wouldn't show it on your website. I wouldn't show it as something that you offer, because what happens if you can't? And this also keeps, got to keep this in mind, especially you natural light photographers who go out and you have golden hour portraits and that type of thing. What if all of a sudden the day before the session, the client says, listen, our whole family can't make it at 6 o'clock at night. We need to do it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And that's our only time. At that point in time, it's your responsibility to say, we can do it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but the images aren't going to look like what you see in my portfolio. You need to let them know and be very aware. And in a situation like that, I would make a phone call, and then I would also put it in writing in an email, because we all know people hear what they want to hear. I do it myself. I hear what I want to hear. And then sometimes it comes back and bites me in certain situations. Manage your expectations so that you can exceed those expectations. But also, when something comes up that's going to throw a really big wrench in the process or in the look of the images, you need to let your clients know that you are not going to be able to exceed the visual expectation of their photos. You're not going to be giving them the perfect image that they want from the session, because it cannot happen at that point of in the day or whatever the reason is, right? You have a responsibility to them. And that is part of providing great customer service, is managing your client's expectations so hopefully that you can exceed them. The second thing that I put in this bucket of great customer service is an ease of doing business. Most of my clients these days hire me because, yes, I can take a decent picture, but also because I make booking me and working with me very, very easy. Very easy. There's only one thing that I require of my clients that some of them don't really like, but after they go through it, they understand why and they've appreciated it. And that's a phone call. I do require that before anyone books me, we have a short phone call. And I explain it like this. I know this is exactly what I say to my clients. I know phone calls are a pain. I know that we are all very, very busy. But I also know that a phone call that takes 10 minutes will cut down on 20 emails back and forth, which will actually cost you more time. You have to lay things out like this with clients very, very clearly, because they may not understand, oh, you're actually trying to save them time by having the phone call. They don't understand that going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth is actually a waste of everyone's time. They also usually at this point in the game don't understand that the more you answer their questions, the more questions they are going to have, which causes more and more emails, right? Another area where you can make things very, very easy for people to do business with you is how you accept your session retainers, how you get your contract signed if you use contracts, all of those different things. How do you provide that information to them? If they want clothing advice, if they want makeup advice, do you provide that easily to them? Do you have maybe private blog posts that you can forward to them after they've paid you the session retainer that include information on locations, makeup, and clothing, how to put all that together? The easier you make it for them to do business with you and choose you is what you want to do. And that is bucket two for great customer service. So before we go any further, I want to tell you what I love about Enphoto's products. I sell Enphoto's albums and their album boxes. That's what I present to all my family clients. And what I love about them is their range of color, the beautiful acrylic photo that they can put on the cover, how I can get a USB put in there or not put in there. If they don't get the digital files, I don't include that. But I love the fact that it's all in one place for them to hold everything. And here's a tip that I use. We all know that, especially with busy families, that they don't just have the professional portraits taken throughout the year. They have sports pictures. They have other pictures going that they might get printed copies of. And so it becomes a problem when it comes to managing all these pictures. So if they're getting a family session taken every year with a box every year, I make the box, I order one size larger of the box. That gives them a place for that year for them to store the soccer picture, the cheerleading picture, the football picture, all those different various pictures that they have from children's events or from life events. They can keep them all in one place and keep them in the year in which those images were taken. So when it comes to maybe they'll want to digitally capture those images someday, that type of thing, everything is neat and orderly. And that's what I tell my parents when I deliver the images. I say, hey, this box right here, you're gonna love this box. I specifically ordered it for you custom so that you could have some extra space to put all the extra images that you get taken throughout the year in here so you can keep them well organized and keep them all together. And clients love it. It's a great way for you to present your end photo album and also give them some new functionality with it as well. So if you're not doing that with your end photo album boxes, try that today and see how great that comes across with your clients. So check out their special, go to the show notes, click on the link and get a great discount on your first special sample album. So before that word from Enfoto, I talked about two of the buckets for providing great customer service. One was having a product and having a way to exceed client expectations. Two was having an ease of doing business, making things easy for your client, making the booking process easy, the contract process easy, all of those things. There's some great CRMs that can help you do that, but you want to make it easy for your clients to do business with you. The third is having really good client problem resolution. Now you might be thinking, Dory, why are you talking about client problems in a podcast about great customer service? Well, because that's part of great customer service. People, or I should say most people, don't expect the experience that they're going to have with every vendor or every business that they do business with, that it's going to be perfect all the time. Remember at the top of the episode, I talked about that we only, you know, we're going to have great customer service, but there's probably going to be 5% of people who really don't prefer to do business with us. And a lot of it comes down to how we handle things when things go wrong. And that can happen across the board in any business. When we had some home renovations being done in our home, we had a fireplace that we didn't want. We took that out and we bumped out our family room to make it bigger. And they came and put the roof on the new part of the house, but they didn't connect it to the old house correctly. It was the night before we were getting ready to leave for a high school reunion in California. And it was one of the biggest rainstorms that had come through the Virginia area in a really long time. And the next thing I know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, my baby girl, who was like a year and a half, she's sleeping upstairs. And my husband is screaming for me from the basement, get down here. The house is flooding. Well, it wasn't flooding, but the basement, what had happened, because the addition of the house, it hadn't all been closed up yet. And because they put the roof on incorrectly, they actually put it on in a way that all the water was flowing directly into my house, down through the addition into my basement storage room, where we store everything from computer things to wedding china, to luggage, to old baby clothes, all those things. It was pouring directly down into that storage room at 3 o'clock in the morning when we were set to leave to go to the airport to get on a plane that was leaving at 7:30 the next morning. So luckily it did stop raining. We got some big buckets put strategically in some areas that were capturing the water. And then we started making phone calls, frantic phone calls. You have to, you know, to the general, to our project manager. We actually had the number to the company, the construction company president. I placed phone calls everywhere. And then a little bit later, when I felt okay, I called my mom because my mom was watching my daughter. And I said, listen, after you take her to preschool, can you please stop by the house to make sure that they are coming to fix this problem? I wasn't going to land in California till about 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock their time. So it would have been 2 or 3 o'clock Virginia time. So I had no idea I was going to hop on that plane and go to that high school reunion. I had no idea what was going to happen. And so my mom was here and she and my dad came over and looked at the house and they said everyone, when they got to the house, everyone was there. And I don't know who all everyone was, but she said they probably had 8 to 10 people at the house cleaning up, making sure it was okay. The roofing guys were there. Like, they did a whole all hands on deck onto our house to make sure that everything was okay. And I got off the phone, I got off the plane. I had voice messages from my project manager. I had voicemail messages from my mom. I had voicemail messages from the president of the company and the whole bit. And the thing is what happened shouldn't have happened, but the way that they handled it still made me trust that it would be okay. And that's the biggest thing. Your clients need to have your trust, not only that you're going to take great images, but that you're going to take good care of them and the people that they care about, they bring to your studio. And mistakes happen. Problems happen. So how do you resolve those problems in a way that makes them feel well cared for, makes them feel listened to, and lets them want to come back again? And coincidentally, that wasn't the only problem that we had on that construction project. We were putting a big bay window in the back of the house, and it had to center up in the room. And they put the bay window in and they closed up the walls. And I walked into the room and I said, Hey, Brian, he was our project manager. I said, that window's not center. He said, yeah, I know. He's like, I didn't want to tell you yet because we couldn't fix it yet, but no, it's not center. They put in a whole bay window 3 inches off center. Now, 3 inches may not sound like a lot, but when it's supposed to be centered under a peak in the ceiling, you notice that it's not center. So they had to come back and they had to fix that too. And once you know, even with those two big issues on that construction project, I still recommend them to friends and family when they need people to come and work on their home. And I still call them to get quotes for new projects that we've had in the future because of the way they handled those issues. They resolved those issues with integrity, with my best interest at heart, all of those different things. And they actually promised me a lot of things in trying to resolve those problems that I didn't take them up on, because a lot of people will say they have problems and they'll try and take advantage of a small business and say, listen, I want this for free. I want this for free. I want this for free. Have you heard this before? Give me my digital. You messed up, so I should have my digital files. You messed up, so I'm not going to pay for my album. You messed up, so I have this. And the thing is, problems happen and we need to be kind to other people. And sometimes we wish our clients felt that about ourselves. But I didn't go after, he offered me a lot of extra things that I could have had for my home or done as a way of apologizing and making things right, which I actually said no to. Because I said, listen, I'm not here to try and get things for free from you. I just want this fixed and I want it done right in a timely fashion. And they agreed to. And I think that most people are going to be fine with that when you work in your best interest for what they, or excuse me, in their best interest to finish out a transaction. Because all of this is a transaction, right? Okay, so we've had three buckets so far. Great product that exceeds expectations, an ease of doing business, great problem resolution, right? When there's an issue to resolve it. And number four is a great ending. Everything starts out good when you're dealing with clients at an inquiry, right? Everybody starts as best friends. Everybody thinks that everything's going to work out great and there's not going to be any problems, right? So you go through the transaction. Maybe there's been a few issues, and then it comes to either the product delivery and you're about to say goodbye. Now, I learned one thing in music school, and this has stuck with me with almost all of my transactions and client interactions that I've had since then. People remember the beginning of a song and the end of a song, especially in a live performance. If everything goes okay during the song, during the aria, during the piece, they're not going to remember it unless it really, really stands out. But they're going to remember the beginning and the end. So trust me, I got through music school by making sure I knew the beginning of my songs and the end of my songs. Sometimes I fumbled a little bit in the middle, but I always made sure I ended on a strong note. So that's how I practice. I practice the beginning, and then I practice the end, and the middle I practiced when I could, but at least I had the bookends together. That is traditionally what people remember when they're working with you. It's how you made them feel in the end. So no matter what, if something happens, if images aren't exactly what they're looking for, if you haven't exceeded their expectations in certain areas, if you've had a few fumbles when it comes to the ease of doing business, or you've had a few issues around there, most people are going to be fairly forgiving of those types of things. Make sure you end on a strong note. Do a strong delivery. Include a little gift at the end. Include that handwritten thank you note. All those different things that you can do to make them feel really, really great. That is what's going to tie up the experience they have with you in a nice little bow. It could be figuratively or actually literally a nice little bow, and make them feel great about working with you. So hopefully today during this podcast, you've had a real good idea of what it truly means to give great customer service. Now, obviously, within those four buckets, product that exceeds expectations, ease of doing business, problem resolution, and having a great ending, there's a lot of areas within those, a lot of steps within those four buckets. But if you have a good idea when you're setting up your business of keeping those four in mind as kind of the umbrella, so to speak, of providing great customer service, you are going to do really, really well in providing your clients what they want when they visit your studio. Thank you so much for listening to the Focal Points podcast. I am so glad that you're here. Hit our show notes to get some special offers from myself and my coaching and also Enphoto, and we will see you next time. Thank you so much. Hey everyone, I hope you've enjoyed the program. I have a quick request. If you've enjoyed this program or enjoyed other programs that we've brought to you courtesy of Focal Points and Enphoto, I would love for you to head over to Spotify or iTunes and leave us a review. These help us more than you know when it comes to getting the word out about the program and how we can help other photographers who might be dealing with some of the same struggles that you are. We appreciate your time. We appreciate your review today.